Welcome to the Cloquet Vineyard. To find out more of who we are, go to cloquetvineyard.org. Thanks for listening and have a good and beautiful day.
So we are continuing our series on your favorite book and mine called Leviticus. And if you are just catching up to this and you've read the Bible at any point, yes, this is the oddest part of the Bible in my ideas. And we have them on podcast. If you want to listen to the first two, some of the things I'm talking about are going to be stealing from the first two messages as well. And today I thought where we'd start naturally is the YMCA. I love the YMCA. Anyone else big YMCA fans? All right, just us three. All right, so clearly I'm a specimen. You can tell I work out all the time. So the YMCA, there's this lady there who's a teacher named Anna. And if you've ever been to a YMCA class, Anna's the real deal, Holyfield. And she was having a class that I was able to go to, and it was like a step class, like a, you know, up, down, that kind of step class. And so, did you guys get that? I articulated that very well. So I go to this class, and I show up like 3 minutes before the class starts, just thinking, it starts at like 11, you show up like around right before 11. And so I show up, and it's packed. And everyone's grabbing these things, and they have, right, actually, they already have them out, and they have this ball, and they have weights. And I walked in just thinking, we're just going to, like, step up and down some things and laugh, and it'll be a good time. But clearly, I looked like a moron, all right? Everyone kind of, like, looked at me, and I'm, like, standing around, like, oh, okay, I thought, why do we need one of those big balls? Are we going to step on the ball? That seems dangerous, right? And I didn't know where they were grabbing those like platforms. I'm looking around, I can't see them. And then there's weights. I'm like, are we gonna do weights on the ball? I don't understand. Like, I just had no idea. And someone noticed that I looked like a moron. And they walked up, introduced themselves. She was amazing. And she's like, yeah, they don't really tell you what's going on. You have to go around the corner. These are the weights. Here's why you do it. I'm like, oh, okay. So then I'm thinking, how hard is it to step? Right, up, down, left, right, left. And all of a sudden, Anna gets out there. She just walks in like a rock star, flips on some music, and she just starts yelling out commands like kickball chain or Vermont maple syrup. And people just know it. All of a sudden, they're going all the way back here. And I just stand there, and I'm like, what is going on? This is a different language. This is a totally different culture. And so then I am that creepy guy that has to watch all these women at their feet to know, okay, what? And someone looked at me. I'm like, sorry, I want to know what's going on, right? And sometimes you need someone to walk you through step by step, someone to show you why there's weight, someone to do the steps so that you can get the full experience of a class. And this is Leviticus chapters 8, 9, and 10, right? Like in my notes, it says a step class kind of God, right? That you really do at times need someone to walk you through of, you're going to do this, and this is healthy, and this is how you flourish. Don't do this. Sometimes in your life, you might need someone to walk alongside of you. So this is Leviticus. And 8, 9, and 10 is all about the priests. We're getting to the priests. And you might think, that is a weird word. That doesn't, like, we don't call each other priests. Like, I'm not a priest, right? But here at the very beginning, what happens is God speaks to Moses, Mount Sinai, and he goes, I have chosen you. They just came out of oppression and slavery from Egypt, and now they're free, and God says to them, you're my chosen people, and you will be a nation of priests. You'll be a nation of priests. And from that point on, they set up this tent of meeting, which is like my first two messages, tent of meeting. And we get to chapter 8, and finally they begin to consecrate the tent of meeting and consecrate these priests. And the reason is, whatever is going to happen in that holy, sacred place, God is going to use these priests as a way to walk someone through what a good and beautiful life looks like. And so where I want to start, chapter 8, I'm going to read to you, starting in verse 1, chapter 8, says this. The Lord said to Moses, bring Aaron and his sons, their garments, the anointing oil, the bowl for the sin offering, the two rams, and the basket containing bread made without yeast, and gather the entire assembly at the entrance of the tent meeting. Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the assembly gathered at the entrance at the start of the meeting. So, real riveting stuff, right? So, what's happening here is Moses is bringing his brother Aaron, or you might call him Aaron. Yeah, you guys got that? Thank you. All right, some of you, you know what I'm talking about, Key and Peele. So, I'm thinking Key and Peele. Moses brings his brother Aaron up, and he's going to make Aaron the high priest. And if you read through it, I hope some of you are reading through Leviticus so that you get some of these jokes, really. That's really the point. So, he gets, like, this special robe. Like, everyone wants a special robe. He gets a special sash, right? So that's exciting. He gets a special breastplate. Inside the breastplate is these two rocks. And they don't tell you why there's two rocks in there. They think it was for decision-making. But they don't tell you. And guys, seriously, there is like volumes of books of people saying, oh, let me tell you why there's these two rocks. It gets into like Reddit kind of weird subculture. So we don't know, right? Because it was written at a time of like they said, yeah, the two rocks. Like anyone reading would be like, yeah, the two rocks. In the same way if we said, hey, I made a text message on my iPhone to my friend, right? If someone back then listened to like, what is an iPhone and what is a text? It'd be foreign. So two rocks in there. So Aaron now has all like the symbol. He is set apart with this, and Moses comes and throws a bunch of oil all over the tent of meeting. If you read it, they're just like throwing oil over here and blood over here. It's kind of fun. So they throw oil everywhere as a way of this is going to be a blessing. This is going to be fruitful. He takes the same oil and he dumps it over Aaron, flows down his head in his big old beard, in his robe, as a sign of whatever is going to happen in this holy place that is now set apart, that oil that's on all that stuff is now on you. Then he goes to Aaron's sons, and they become priests, and they get robes, but they get different sashes because they're not psychopaths. You can't match, right? There's a high priest, and there's the other priest, so they get separate ones. And they actually they get little caps, too. So you can imagine, this is probably a cute group of priests. So then what happens, honestly, is probably my favorite part in Leviticus so far, is that Moses then takes this bull, which would be this peace offering. The peace offering is a way of knowing where you stand in right relationship with the divine and with one another. So Moses really does the first offering in this tent of meeting, takes this blood, and again, throws it everywhere, right? He's like throwing it everywhere, essentially saying, this place is in right relationship with God. And then this is what it says. This is great. Moses slaughtered the ram. Sorry, not the ram, not the bull, the ram. Slaughtered the ram and took some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. Moses also brought Aaron's son forward and put some of the blood on the lobes of their right ears, on the thumbs of their right hands, and the big toes of their right feet. Then he splashed blood against the sides of the altar. I know, you can see why this is my favorite part, right? It's like big toes and ears and fingers. Here's what some commentators wrote that I love. They're saying, if this is the peace offering, they're telling these priests that what you hear, that what you put your energy to, how you work, what you touch, that everywhere you go, on your foot, every place you go, what you are bringing with you is peace. What you are doing in your job, in your life, in your circles, at your parties, with your family, whatever it is you're doing, you are to be someone who is restoring hope, restoring right relationship with one another. These priests are not created just to be like this weird subculture, just to do with like play with a bunch of blood. Like that's not what it's about. It's always been about right relationship with God and with one another. And you can see that from the very beginning, God calls Abraham to be a blessing to all people, that you be a tribe that blesses everybody. Then we see God tell Moses, Mount Sinai, you're going to do this and have these priests for everybody. And now they set apart these priests to bring peace everywhere they go, not just to their inner beautiful people, not just to the elite, not just to the VIPs, that they are peacemakers. You look forward. If this is where God starts, and then where we see, you see the life of Jesus, Jesus doubles down on that and says, you should love your enemy. Like the people who are actively trying to kill you, who oppose you, who have their boot on your throat, you are supposed to actively have some sort of this weird mystical love that everywhere you go, you get to participate in the recreating of this creation, of this beautiful life, this good and beautiful life. And I love that from the very beginning, like if you just read over it and you're like, is that sanitary? Blood on ears? I just don't get it. What's with all the blood? If you just get underneath the surface of some of the stuff, you can see that it points to Jesus. It points to us. And that we can be peacemakers. Yes, Nita, even on Facebook, you can be a peacemaker. And you're like, that's impossible. You can be a peacemaker in an election year. Every year is an election year. You can be a peacemaker in the office. Well, there's all the politics and all the gossip. In your marriage, with your friends. Like, everywhere we go, we are to bring peace, life, and restoration. And we see that in this ancient, old, weird, scary kind of book. And then, so they do all that. Then they eat a meal, because the peace offering is that you're supposed to actually have a meal. So they eat a meal in front of the entire assembly. The whole assembly is there. So everyone is there watching this happen. And they're watching them eat a meal saying, we are in right relationship with God. And then God says, hey, by the way, 7 days you have to hang out here. Right? If you're a priest and you got your special little sash, you're like, I feel pretty good. I got my cap, got my sash. And they're like, oh, by the way, 7 days. And if you are like a geek like me and you like reading about this stuff, like the number 7 in the Bible is always about perfection. It's when they say 7 of something, it means there's perfection. It's almost like it's heaven. It's like set apart. And so they have 7 days they have to be there. There's 7 days of creation. If you read through Leviticus, there is 7 instructions Moses does in chapter 8. It's like all over the place of the author of this book telling you this is in right order. And on the 8th day is where we pick up chapter 9. But if you think about it, right, and this is not my notes. In the creation, we talk about in the story in Genesis of 7 days and the 7th day God rests, the Sabbath. If you think about it, those are all good. The 8th day after the rest, it's almost like God is inviting them of how are you going to spend this energy? 7 days I have created, 8th day we rest, or 7th day we rest, 8th day you create. It's like this circular of God inviting us of like you get to participate in your energy using whatever you have to build and create beautiful things. And this is what happens in chapter 9. They wait 7 days, 8th day we get to the part where a cloud shows up. So, chapter 9. So Aaron performs all these offerings. All the offerings they were talking about before 1 through 7, they just like heard about it, and now Aaron does the first one. He goes in with Moses, and they do all the stand up, sit down, throwing stuff around, right? And when he's all done, this is what happens. Moses and Aaron then went into the tent of meeting. When they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Fire came out of the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and they fell face down. Which is quite an odd circumstance here, right? Like all of a sudden a cloud shows up, there's fire, people are like, yeah, and then they fall down, right? It's a weird way to celebrate. But here's one reading, right? The blessing, they come out and they say the blessing. And the blessing they would have used, we see in Numbers a little bit further on because they just skip over that part. Listen to this blessing. This is number 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So think about it. They're going in and doing all these, again, to us, these odd rituals. Blood everywhere. Blood on ears and lobes. And then they come out, at least in my mind, maybe because I'm a man, or I have a lot of built up aggression somewhere, right? But I think if I went through all that, you'd want to come out and be like, yeah, we did it, right? Or it would just be this, it's almost this picture of this angry God, right? That demands a blood sacrifice to be okay. But here, these priests come out and they don't punish. They don't say, no, you guys better not screw it up. We got a good thing going on here, right? They come out and they say this beautiful blessing of this God loves you. This God shines upon you. And may this God, everything we've done, may it add value everywhere you go. And after the blessing to the people from the priests, God comes and brings a blessing to the people. They call it the glory cloud. Saw it in Mount Sinai. They followed through the desert. And hear God's cloud of blessing, of glory, and cool fire, by the way. That's like my boys would be like, yeah, how come we don't do that? So, and the way they respond is with joy, not fear. And if you think about it, like, I don't know, I'm a very skeptical person. always have been, I still am, right? Anytime people are like, hey, this is the best movie, you gotta watch this movie, instantly I'm like, I'm probably never gonna watch that movie, right? Anyone else like that? Am I all alone? Thank you. All right, so. If I was there and I heard all this hype at the Mount Sinai, and they're like, and you are gonna be a people of priests, it's gonna be for everyone, and we have all these offerings, I'd be like, yeah, great, awesome, good idea. And I'd be sitting there watching, and they're putting the blood on, I'd be like, I don't know if that's safe, I don't know if that's a great life decision. And then they go in, and you're just standing there, and first you gotta watch them for 7 days just sitting around, and you're like, great, this is awesome. And they walk in, and blood, and you hear the bowl and all that stuff, and they come out, right? If you imagine, there's a lot of anticipation, there's a lot of hype. And when they see the glory cloud, when they see the presence of God, when they get to experience really heaven, it'd be a way of saying, this God really is who this God says that he is. It's a way of celebrating. It's true. Everything they promised, that we have right relationship, that we can have peace, that there's atonement for us, that we can actually participate in this good and beautiful life. And it's true. That is monumental. Now we have a place. We have an option to connect with God in a practical way, and they respond by yelling and falling down, which I love. So now we naturally go to a story, because 8 and 9 tell you about the consecrating the temple and consecrating the priests. Then you see the first offerings, and then for the first time in Leviticus, you get a story. Everything else, if you're reading through it, it's like a lot of repetition, right? And God said, do this. And so Moses said, yes, I'll do that. And Moses actually did this. It's just repetitive over and over. And chapter 10 starts with a story. But it is not a warm, fuzzy story. Sorry. Right? It's not a parable. It actually brings up way more questions than there is answers. But it's funny. Well, how about it's funny for us, because we didn't get burned by fire. So, here's what it says. Thank you. That was my mother-in-law that laughed. Thank you, Sue. So, Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense. And they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. That's pivotal, right? Verse 2. So fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Not a great story, right? Now, we don't know what they did specifically, what kind of incense was supposed to be in there, and why it's unauthorized fire, but something bad happened, and fire came, and they died. And then it goes on. This is how the Lord, adds to this story. Verse 8, then the Lord said to Aaron, you and your sons are not to drink wine or other fermented drink whenever you go into the tent of meeting, or you will die. This is a lasting ordinance for the generations to come, so that you can distinguish between the holy and the common, between the unclean and the clean, and so you can teach the Israelites all the decrees the Lord has given you through them, through Moses. Now, this wraps up and actually brings light to 8 and 9. It's like it's in order in this interesting way, because 10 and this weird story shed light of why we have 8 and 9. So here's what God says. No more boozing it up in the tent of meeting, right? Because he specifically says, no more. So at some point, they were crushing PBRs in there, right? I open a bottle of wine and bring it in there and all right, God, do some of these sacrifices, right? And he says, no more fermented wine, no more strong drink. Let's be sober in there. Why does he bring this up? Probably doesn't want people to die, but there's two things. First one is to distinguish, and this is great. God is saying, there is sacred, there is holy, and there's common. And somewhere along, there is this line, there is this boundary, there is this border that separates the common to the holy, and it matters. To the point that I've invited you, or not I, God has invited these priests to be able to recognize what is holy, what is sacred, and what is not. And depending on how you view God, this could feel really tit for tat, right? Of really, he's really concerned on the details. But here's why. Because in Genesis, God creates an order. He creates the heavens and the earth, and he separates things. He brings boundaries and borders. He separates the sky from the water in that story. And when he creates, what does God say when he creates something? He says, it's good. Everything God creates is good, including you, right? So Here he has created a space in this tent of meaning, in this one specific area. He's saying, all this is great, all this is common, but this place right here, this is holy. And then he goes to this group of people and says, oh, you guys are great, it's good, but these people I'm setting apart so they can go into this holy place. Why? So that all of the people in Israel can hear the decrees from Moses. So that everybody, the common, the poor, the rich, can experience the holy. And again, this is huge. Because now they have a place where what they do matters. That how they do these offerings, how they do these rituals are not just a bloodthirsty God. It's so that you can have peace, life, and flourishing. And God is saying, no more boozing it up in there because what you do matters. What you do brings life and flourishing to the people around you. And I've chosen you because this place is good and because this place is good. Can you see it? And you jump forward. Here we start in Leviticus and you go forward to the Gospels when Jesus dies on the cross. And in this temple that they built, in the sacred place, similar to the tent of meeting, the veil gets ripped in two and God's presence that was only reserved for this sacred space now explodes to us and goes everywhere. But they had to learn how to do that here. God is saying there's a new way of being human and this is where you start. Can you see that? The second thing is this. God is saying, you're a different kind of priests because I'm a different kind of God. Their neighboring countries, being a priest was not this new idea. This was happening all around them, but it's different because priests would have used like their position as a position of power, of being elite, where you couldn't go to the common man and talk about these sacred scriptures or what these offerings mean because you're a moron, right? No, the people who are smart, we're the only ones who have access to divine and we'll leak some stuff out to you when you need it. It would be like political power. And this priest, what God's saying, these priests are there to serve everyone. In the same way, God, I'm repeating myself, God to Abraham, you'll be a blessing to everyone. Sinai, God, Moses, you're going to do this for everyone. And now these priests are learning all these things of what it looks like to have a good and beautiful life, not just for themselves, so that it can explode to everyone around them. So this is where I end. End here. Of create, uncreate, recreate. Create, uncreate, recreate. This is a theme all throughout the Bible. Of God creates something, we screw it up. We rip it down, right? And then God recreates. The reason 10 is important and how it shines light to 8 and 9 is this. Aaron, right? On his first day, he does these offerings. They did it great. God comes down. They're like, whoa, it's amazing. They fall down. The very next day, they screw it up. One day. And they see God and say, this is amazing. And they're like, ah, we got it from here. We're going to go booze it up and play with fire, right? And that does not define them. God doesn't shut it down. I mean, for those two, he did. But like for like everyone else, right? He doesn't shut it down and say, I did all these things for you, and you screwed it up. Now I'm going somewhere else. God stays. And actually, 8 and 9 taught you exactly when you screw it up, what do you do? Can you see that? It's almost like God was anticipating that God knew that maybe you might walk into a room and not know how to do anything. It's almost like God knew that someone might need to walk over and grab their hand and saying, this is where you find your stuff. This is why you step up and down. Kickball change means you run to the door and back, right? He's going to give us step by step. And even though we screw it up, even though that you and I screw it up all the time, he still invites us to recreate. Your mess, your addiction, your thoughts, your words, your past, your future, what you didn't do this morning, what you did do this morning, if you got your workout in or you just lied about it, right? You know who you are. So, like, oh, I totally went to the Y today, yes. So, that does not define you. The worst thing you've ever done is not who you are. Because God is inviting you to recreate. That there is an opportunity to have a flourishing life. that there is a space, there is an opportunity to experience heaven itself. So please, let's stand. I'm loving this series. We only have a couple more, but thank you. Thank you for being in this sacred space with me. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have do some more worship, and we're going to have our ministry team meet over there. And I feel like maybe there's an opportunity for some of us to maybe respond and experience something. If that's you, you want to experience the divine in this sacred space, I'm going to pray. I'm going to encourage you, however that looks for you, to receive that. Let's pray. So Holy Spirit, will you come? And God, I thank you that when Moses and Aaron come out and they do that blessing, it's of beauty, it's of hope. It's something that is close and attainable. And I pray for my friends here today who, under this gray cloud, under this weather, or because of the last 5 years, whatever it might be, I ask God that your light, your face would shine upon us. And that your glory, your love, it will sustain us. So to my friends who need hope, to my friends who need beauty, my friends who need not just more of the common, they need the sacred. I ask that you would come and you deliver it right to where they need it. And will you help us to be able to bring that sacred, to bring that place, the people in our lives who need hope, who need beauty, who need the sacred, that need the divine. So we love you. Amen. So if I can have the ministry team make their way up over there, there's two things that I feel like could be opportunities. The first is this, and we're not going to put blood on you, I promise, right? We're not that kind of church, right? And we're not even going to put like red paint on you and say, this is the blood. We're not doing that. If we ever do that, run. Just get out of here. So, why am I talking about this? Oh, you feel like you want to bring peace everywhere you go. You feel like, I want to be a peacemaker. Maybe the circles you're in are tense. Maybe the circles you're in is filled with fear. Or maybe you just like, I want to add value everywhere you go. Man, we'd love the chance to pray for you on that. That is a beautiful thing. It is an incredibly hard thing. Like, if you're here and you're speaking up against injustice, if you're speaking against the cultural norms, saying, well, this is how it's always been, you say, what if it could be different? What if you're speaking out against racism or oppression, whatever it might be, and you're saying, I want to bring peace, but it seems like no one wants it. Man, that is a tough place to be, and I hear you and I see you. And we'd love the chance to pray for you. The second thing is this. Oh, yeah, you need to pivot. You feel like the idea of you have uncreated something that God has invited you into. You screwed it up, you messed up, and you're just carrying with you like just guilt and shame with you over and over, and you want to recreate. Like it's here, friends. And sometimes you just need someone to stand with you, someone just to say like, it's okay, man. It's okay, friend. They're not going to shame you. They're not going to say, you did what? That's why we have them up here, just so you can stand with someone. If you want prayer for anything else, feel free to come up. Thank you for coming to the Cloquet Vineyard. Have a great rest of your week.